John, the 11th chapter, where we were this morning. And I have been so open to God in my own heart this afternoon, and I kind of felt two ways of pulling, but I feel like this is what God wants us to do and finish some things that we were not able, for the sake of time, to finish. I felt like we said what should have been said this morning, and we ministered the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed church this morning. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. But I want us just to look at some things that we find here in John, the 11th chapter, because this is just blessing my heart, just blessing my heart. And we're talking about this morning how to raise the dead. I know that sounds very sensational, but someone did die, and his name was Lazarus. His name was Lazarus. He did die, and I hope he was dead because they buried him. You know, so, I mean, that should be a given. They buried him, so I think everybody was satisfied that he died. And what we don't realize in this culture, I know just like with our tour guide, Brother Monty, I call him brother because I had some intimate conversations with him. But you know, the day you die, or the other day, they bury you that day. We don't understand that. I mean, today it's very unusual, the length and the period of time sometimes. And, you know, because of travel schedules and other things that are happening, a lot of times it's a while before, you know, you finally have the final service. And, of course, that depends on, you know, all that enters into it. But here's the thing about Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, a home where Jesus was welcome, people that loved and revered the Lord Jesus Christ, their brother passed away. He got sick. He got sick, and he passed away. Passed away. And I'm not going to take the time to read all this 11th chapter, because as I said this morning, I really wrestle with, in 57 verses, it's kind of hard to tie that all in one package. And of course, kind of sort of where I'm coming from many times, I like to take a given portion of God's Word and get everything out of it you can get out of, hopefully, you know, you never exhaust it. But I love that. And I knew that God wanted us to minister from John 11. And it was while we were spending several hours apart this week, as we were out of state there, that I just really had a divine visitation of God. And, oh, we won't go there, but God really spoke some things into my heart about the ministry, about the future, and we're just open. Our hearts are open. We're going to go God's way. It's a very strategic time. We're not going to back up, let up, shut up until we go up. Amen. But here in this 11th chapter of John, Lazarus passed away. He was sick. They sent a message to Jesus and said, please come. And Jesus, gentle, sweet, loving, wonderful Jesus, waited 2 days knowing that his friend was dying. Of course, he knew what the last chapter was on that process, you understand. But I mean, in the natural, I mean, if a pastor was in the same situation, I'd be crucified. You know, if it was at all possible and I knew about something, you know, it's amazing. Sometimes people respond on their own terms on how they want to contact you. But, I mean, you better get back, you know, all things being equal. And that's why we have a staff. Of course, we can't respond to everything. I do my best. But we have a loving, wonderful staff. I'll tell you, when you get married, they'll tie a knot where you're there. You're there. Praise God. And when you pass away, you'll stick your head out of the coffin and say, I wasn't that great. I mean, whether I could call the names of our staff, we have a loving, caring staff. I'm having a little fun with you on that one. But anyway, Lazarus was sick, and Jesus waited 2 days. I mean, that kind of plays with your mind a little bit, unless you know and you've read the end of this chapter. Waits 2 days. And then he finally says, well, we're going to go. he heard that Lazarus was sick in John 11, verse 6. And then in verse 21, when he finally got there, Martha said unto Jesus, my brother, he wouldn't have died, Jesus, if you were here. Now we got something else to deal with here. But whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. You know, I'd never really dwelt on the other side of that verse, the other side of those two verses. Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. But I know. I just like the wording of that. I know that if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. I wished you'd been here. I wished we had not had to go to the trouble, all the sorrow, the grief, everything that goes into someone passing on. But I know, do you know, that even now, I'm going to have to be careful and keep it on track here. I know that even now, well, if Jesus had only been here, it's never too late with Jesus. But I know, I'm saying something here. I'm enjoying every second of it. Praise God. I know, you know, if you'll acknowledge that you know, and I believe you are, I know that even now, whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. I wish certain things had happened. Oh, my Lord. Pray for me. It's like lightning up here tonight. There's a lot of things that happened in the pastorate and the church that I wish some things had happened in a different way. I mean, if I was orchestrating it, and I can think over many, many years, a volume of illustrations, there's a lot of things that happened that if I was orchestrating it, it would not have happened that way. I felt that I would have had a better way, a smoother way, or a more timely way. And sometimes it seems like Jesus, as Harold Bredesen said, it seems like he's often late, but he's always right on time. And the thing that we've learned time and time again, he doesn't always do it like we think he should have done it. And many times if we had it in our hands, we would have done it the way we wanted to do it, whether that was God's way or not. But even now, if things have not gone as you wish they would, as things had not gone as, I'm saying something that's answering questions in somebody's heart right now. I just feel that powerful drawing of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot that happens in all of our lives. There's a lot that happens around the church. We don't understand it at the moment, or we don't understand it in a period of time. But even now, God is still on the throne. Because it didn't happen like I wanted it to happen, or you wanted it to happen, when we wanted it to happen, or how we wanted it to happen, even now. Boy, this is manna from heaven. Even now. God's an even now God. No matter what the past has been, now. I want you to get it. Even now. I'm seeing wheels turn. I'm seeing you start taking notes. This has already answered some questions in my heart up here trying to minister to you. I mean, up here, it's all I knew not just to stop and start writing myself. Oh, praise God. There are things that I wish God had done differently. There are things that I wish had been orchestrated differently. I would have done it differently, but I'm not God, thank God. But even now, even now, God is still on the throne. God is still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Just because it didn't happen like we think God should have done it, even now. Just believe God and watch the sparks fly. Even now, just believe God and see miracles come to pass. It may be a job or a vocation or a relationship or an investment or your children. There's a volume of things. Why did things happen like they happened? Jesus, if you'd only been here, this would not have happened. He was there. He was there all the time. I'm listening to myself tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can see three of me. One, two, three, right there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Even though things don't happen like we wish they had happened. You said you just got through saying that. Yeah, but you're in the process of getting it. Even though things in your, I may be talking about years ago. I may be talking about months ago. I may be talking about days ago. I may be talking about hours ago. I may even be talking about today with somebody. Even though things don't happen like we think they should happen on the time schedule or on the calendar, of our human understanding, thank God even now. Even now, even now, even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, He will give. Even now, God's able. God's still working on that deal. God's still working on that person. God's still working on that situation. God is still on the throne. We're almost there. We're almost there, class. We're almost there, but I'm just working on it a little bit more. Even though now our God's on the throne. All right, praise God. Well, the Bible said over in verse 32 that when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Now, Martha has already talked with him, but she fell down at his feet. Now, you get two women crying, you got something going on. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had only been here, see the same thing. If you'd only been here, my brother, he would not have died. And Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, and he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. What was the deal? Jesus loved people, and he loves people today. And he said, where have you laid him? They said, come and see. And, of course, you know Jesus wept. Now, let me just quickly go through what I shared this morning. I can't take time on each one, but this is still so much in my spirit. How to raise the dead. We all have dead situations. I mean, situations, it's dead. It's buried. What I mean, it's impossible. If only, if only, if only, if only. We all have some dead situations. Right? If you're alive, you have some dead situations. So first of all, how do you raise the dead? I'm going somewhere now. Know that there is there's a great problem. Just know that there's something that needs the attention of God. You know, that's step number one. As long as you think you can do it, you'll keep banging that axe handle against the tree and you've lost the head in the water. You're not going to cut down the tree banging that wooden handle against the tree. Know that there, just acknowledge, that's not out of faith. Look, yeah, there's a problem, all right? But now start calling on Jesus. In faith believing, start calling on Jesus. You remember what the blind man said? Jesus! Jesus! He heard that Jesus was passing by. Start calling on Jesus. I'm not talking about repetitive praying, but I'm talking about faith praying. Hallelujah. I'm trying to speed this up, and I've just got to go at the pace God wants me to go tonight. Well, there's so much going on in my spirit. Calling on Jesus. Now, someone said, how should we call on Jesus? Well, you ask him according to the word of God in faith believing. That's the basic way you ask him. You find, I believe the most perfect way, the beginning way, you find the word for what you're going after. It may not spell it out exactly, but it's in the arena. And you pray in faith believing according to the word of God, and you're praying in the name of Jesus. Okay? All right, you've done that. Now you still feel something tugging in your spirit. I give that in our series on prayer. By the way, pray for me. I'm believing that God's going to help us to be in that Bible school this semester. I've got to redo some things, praise God, that we've done it. I mean, not redo the truth, but just bring it up to date. They're going to be shocked when they see that young man. He's a little bit older than he used to be. But anyway, praise God. My hair used to be down to here, you know, like everyone else. But you see, you pray in the name of Jesus and faith believing according to the Word of God. Now, number two, you see, Spirit-filled people have an advantage. We can pray in the Spirit. In fact, I heard Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin say something one time that has become a reality in my life. He said, the majority of my praying is praying in the Spirit. Because I don't know altogether what's going on, but the Spirit does. And so we pray in the Spirit, in our prayer language. I can go around the world like that without a passport, without an airline ticket. I can go around the world. And then there comes that time, just hardly a mile from here in my early days of ministry. We were working with Joy's dad for a number of years as associate. I know the joys and the challenges of being on church staff. And you know, time after time, when that church would come to a difficult moment, a difficult time, I remember especially one time an evangelist came through that, it's a long story, and I don't care to get into it. I've never seen my father-in-law show any sign of buckling, except that he said, son, I've got to get out of town and get a hold of God. I've just turned the whole church over to you. And he was gone for almost 2 weeks. I said, thanks. But I mean, there was a lot of unrest and a lot of disturbance, and there was a lot of good that happened. But then because the man was a novice and you couldn't teach him, you couldn't tell him anything, it had caused some real problems in the church. And I remember going up to that church time and time again, and I'd get my legal pad and my prayer towel, because if you pray long enough, you're going to need a prayer towel, either cloth or paper. And I used to just crawl under the piano. I don't know why. Don't ask me why, but I used to just, we had about a 7-foot grand up there, and I'd crawl under that. And there's times I'd spend hours before God just crying out to God. And I remember it looked like the church was really going to be hurt at this time. And that's the only time I ever saw my father, a strong man of God. And he said, son, I've got to get out of town and get a hold of God. And he said, you're in charge, and I'm out of here for a few days. And I never will forget the night that I poured my heart out to God. I prayed according to the Word. I prayed according to the Word. And then I prayed in the Spirit. And then I just ran out of words, and my spirit could not articulate what was in my heart. And I began to just groan before God. How long? I really don't remember. It was a goodly part of the night. And we had a little first starter home out in Haltom City there. And just hours in the presence of God. But I'll tell you, when that thing lifted, I knew the church was okay. I knew everything was going to be all right. I knew. And when he came back, praise God, certain things that God had worked them out. God had worked them out. You know, sheep can do some strange things. One sheep can jump in the water and the whole flock of sheep would just follow him. Churches are a pastoral position is a responsible position. You don't blow in, blow up, and blow out. Your heart, your life, the calling of a shepherd is to care for the sheep. And some people really don't understand the heart of a shepherd, but that's the heart of a shepherd. When I got through with prayer that night, thank God, the sun was coming up. But I knew in my heart everything was going to be all right, and it did. God worked things out in a very supernatural way. You know what I want for everything in this church and in the days to come? I want everything to just work out God's way. I want to let go and let God have his way. I want to see God in your life and my life and our life as we continue to grow together. God's not through with me, and God's not through with you, and God's not through with this church. Amen. God's not through. But calling on Jesus, oh, it's so powerful. And you know, we're in a time, we need some extra intercession right now. We need some, I don't mean weird stuff. I'm talking about just extra intercession. And if you have a little while sitting in your car, your lunch break, just pray in the Spirit. Pray for me. Pray for our staff. Pray for our church. It's not a time to talk about the church. It's time to pray about the church. It's time to pray. It's time to seek the face of God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth, in Calvary Cathedral International, as it is in heaven. That's what time. What time is it, Pastor? It's time to seek God, because we're in a time of preparation for greater manifestation. And preparation precedes manifestation. Well, Lazarus had passed away. What a powerful example. Know that there is a need or a problem. Call on the name of Jesus. Thirdly, believe. And I said this morning that death is not denial, but let's look at it also this way. Delay is not denial. Many times, because our prayers are delayed, we feel so frustrated and defeated. No, delay or denial is not, delay or death is not denial. How many understand what I'm saying? Again, we come back to this thing of, it doesn't always work like I want it to work. It doesn't always work like you want it to work. But if we'll trust God, it'll work like God wants it to work. And you just can't, it just doesn't get any better than that. But you know, we've got to believe that God has miracle-working power. Miracle-working power. I'll tell you, God has proven himself even in the end of this year. God has proven himself to me in the last few days, the last few weeks, the last few months. I have seen God do the miraculous, change things, move things around. God knows how to move your furniture around. And it looks better when he gets through than when it did before. Amen. So believe that God has miracle working power. And believe that even now, it's not too late for Jesus. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. Believe that even now. Lord, if you'd only been here. Yes, if I'd only been here. Yes, if I'd only been here. But even now. Even now. Hallelujah. Even now, believe to see the greatness of our God. And you know, you need to also believe that Jesus is not mad at you, but you know, he has compassion. The heart of Jesus is a compassionate heart. He wept. He wept. He groaned. And his heart went out. And you know, I mentioned this morning, just mentioned it in passing, because it's something that I felt in the mix of what God said. Refuse to join the critics about anything. Amen. Praise God. You know, we can critique each other to death if we don't watch it. I often remember I had a friend over on by the old New Isis Theater. Where was that? On Azle Street. I don't know if it's still there or not. But they lived right behind there. Well, they'd come to church, and, you know, we'd always go home with somebody on Sunday afternoon. And, of course, church didn't start that night until 7:30. Amen. You know, that's right. Church didn't start about 7:30, and they didn't worry about time back then, you know, like we have certain time restraints today. But anyway, I remember I went over to see my buddy, and we went down to Marine Creek, I believe it was, and we got us some crawdads and put them in a big old pickle fruit jar. Well, I had to ride a bus back across town, and you had to transfer and then get on another bus and come into the College Avenue bus, and that'd get me back to Southside. And I'm telling you, I had a brown sack around that. And I mean, there's the most, you wouldn't believe the commotion that was going on in that brown sack. And I was afraid that if the bus driver saw that I had a bunch of crawdads in that pickle jar, he'd put me off the bus. And it was a long way from home. And so, but when I got off the bus, man, I opened up, and you know, there's just one or two crawdads left that ate the others. And there were, you know, stuff floating around. We started out with live crawdads, but the time I got home, somebody had eaten somebody. Little cannibals, you know. And you know, church can be the same thing. We can critique one another. Oh, we got to pray for one another, right? I need your prayers. You need my prayers. And together we're going to see victory. Oh, believe that God has a tender heart. Refuse to join the critics about anything. Don't be a backbencher. Just be a front bencher. Go forward. Praise God. And here's the thing. Join the Jesus Miracle Club. It's not too late. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, if you would only believe now, you'll see the glory of God. It's not. You say, oh, the glory. We've missed the. No, we haven't missed the glory. The glory is coming in greater measure. God's getting us ready for the glory. Everybody's talking about the glory, but you know, there's a preparation time for harvest and glory. But you know, there's something else here, and that's really where I've been going, trying to get there. All right, Lazarus is in the grave, and Jesus said in verse 40, Jesus said, said I not unto thee that if you'll only believe, you should see the glory of God. Huh. Oh, and then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Here in John 11, now 42. And I knew that you hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Well, thank God, that's a wonderful moment. And he that was dead came forth. They've rolled the stone away. Bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go.
Hallelujah.
Here's the thing that God really, I think, is a final part of this message tonight. God's dealing with all of us to change. You know, we want this instant laying on of hands and I don't have to change. God's calling on all of us to change. You don't have to, but God doesn't have to either. We don't have to change, but in changing, we position ourselves for the greater blessing of God. Now listen to me. This is tonight. This is just pulling pastor out of me tonight. Praise God. Here's the thing: all of us have things that have come through the fall, through hereditary things. As perfect, as wonderful as my family was, they weren't perfect. As wonderful as your family is, they're not perfect. And we all have things to overcome. Well, my daddy did it this way, or my granddaddy didn't do it this way. You know, we all have, well, you know, the Nichols do this, or the Browns do this, or the Smiths do this. Church, listen, God's calling upon all of us to change according to his word. It may be a terrible impatience. It may be a judging of others. I was sitting somewhere and I was eating and I could, and everyone that would come in, they would have something to say about that person. And usually it was physically. We can't help the way we look. Basically, now, you know, there's things we, but do you understand what I'm saying? I can't help it that I have the nose that I have or the ears. We all are what we are. And a lot of people would be different if they had made themselves. Might have been a bigger mess, but you understand what I'm saying. And there are things that, you know, we can judge the appearance of others. Well, look in the mirror yourself, honey. Amen. You know, you point one finger, but three come back. It's the same way if you've got a full five fingers, point one and three come back. And God's dealing with us about unforgiveness. You know, I'm astonished. This last year I've dealt with people. You know, if the book is plain about anything outside of salvation, it's plain about if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. Now, if I'm not forgiven, I'm in trouble. If I have any fear of God at all, if I refuse to forgive, I'm in trouble. I'm not in relationship. I'm not in that intimate fellowship with the Lord. You say, is it heaven or hell? I don't want to see. Amen. It may be unforgiveness. It may be bitterness. If you only knew what my first husband or my first wife, or if you only knew what my business partner did to me. It could be bitterness over some bad deal. But they knew what they were doing. They lied. They had lawyers. They cheated me. And there was nothing I could do about it. Nothing I could do about it. I remember when my grandmother passed away out in Seymour. And we went to the memorial service. I haven't had an experience I've never had in my life. But there were certain things that certain people had done to just absolutely cheat the family out. The family left with nothing. Nothing, zero, zippo, nothing. But you know what? I said, you know, God, your payday is not always first and 15th. So when somebody does you wrong, release forgiveness toward them and start believing that God's going to bring your ship in God's way. There's some ships you don't want in the harbor. But you let God's ship come in, and that's going to be laden with good things. I'd rather have God reward me than the courts reward me or the lawyers reward me. I'd rather have God reward me. Oh, I'm saying something here. And I'm here to tell you that God exactly, except more than that, God returned that in a way that I don't even have time to get into. Not from that source, but God did it a totally different way a few years later. And God reminded me. He said, see, I didn't forget. See, I did not forget. Folks, God does not forget. God has ultimate memory. Woo! Praise be unto God. There are things in all of our lives that need to change. There are ministries. There are things in their life that they refuse to let God change them. And it just causes problems all their life. There's ways about us. There's ways we can say things. There's attitudes. When something happens, I don't have an attitude. What do you mean me have an attitude? What's the deal with that? We all have something that needs to be changed. What flips your switch? What ticks you off? What just ruins your day? What ruins your week? God wants us to deal with that. God wants us to deal with. So when that happens, we just say, well, wished it hadn't happened, but in the name of Jesus, I just commit that to the Lord. Hallelujah. My father-in-law years ago, he was in a church in Dallas, and he was pastoring there, and someone came and they said, Brother Thompson, someone's telling lies about you. What are you going to do about that? He said, that's their mess. They can clean it up. Anyway, he said, I'm not going to soil my hands. That's their mess. Let them clean it up. You know, so when someone doesn't do right or doesn't say right or whatever, just put it in the hands of God. I'm going to tell you, God's the best attorney in the... I know there's a time you need legal advice. I understand that. But you know, God's the best physician. He's the best attorney. He's the best counselor. He's the best guide. He's the best financial advisor. God's the best of everything. Ooh, hallelujah. Ooh, just put Jesus. Call on Jesus. Well, if he'd just been here, but he's here now. Even now, wished he was, but he is. I wished he had, but he is. He is now. I can't help what your relatives did to you. I can't help what your ex-wife or husband did to you. I can't help that. But God can. And you know, hurting people hurt other people. I mean, there's people in every church that because they haven't dealt with things, they just keep hurting someone else, being suspect of everybody else, just don't understand what's going, you know, just don't. Hey, why don't you just let go and let God have His wonderful way? Lord, I give You my mind, my body, my spirit, everything that concerns my life. I put it in the hands of God. And I'm going to be angry no more, frustrated no more, mad no more, hurt no more, wounded no more, offended no more. It's not worth it. It's not worth the downtime. It's not worth it. Like Spurgeon said, well, you know, God forgives sin, so what's the big deal? No, honey, what you don't realize, it's the downtime that sin causes. It's what it steals and kills and destroys. The progress you could have made, the things that could have happened. But what I'm giving to you is a now message. It ain't over. It's not over. Hallelujah. Whatever the past was, now is the accepted time. And you know, Romans 8, 1 said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, right? Am I quoting it right so far? But I wonder how many know the rest of that verse. All right, I hear some of you quoting it. All right, praise God. Let's read it just like it. At least here in the King James, it should read fairly close to that, anything you have. Romans 8, 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Thank God we're born again. Our sins are forgiven. Life is good. But you know, now listen, you know, Brother Andrew, we had some, I love talking with this man, but he said, you know, a lot of people hear my message of grace, but they take that as that you can just do anything or live any way you want to live or live immorally or, you know, just be illegal. You can just press. No, that's not what grace is all about. But it said, who walk not after the flesh. No condemnation. We're not ruled by the flesh. We walk after the flesh. We don't act or react after the flesh. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, that's what I want. I want the Spirit-filled life. I want the Spirit-led life, don't you? Regardless of what someone else is doing, I want my heart to be right with God. I don't want to take their problem. You know, the biggest thing the church faces outside of spirits of offense is someone who takes somebody else's spirits of offense. Then you got a double jeopardy there. Just like they say, secondhand smoke is worse than first. Well, I don't know. Thank God I don't smoke. But I mean, do you understand? Who walk not after the flesh. I'm not seeking to walk after the flesh. I don't want to. That's why, did you ever realize 2/3 of the Pauline epistles are telling us how we ought to live and how we, not to be saved, but how you can have God's best. Why should we tell the truth? Why should we walk in forgiveness? Why should we let the Jesus life live big in us? So we position ourselves to have God's best. That when we pray, there's nothing between our soul and our Savior. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When you're born again, your spirit is brand new. But you don't hear this much preaching or teaching. You almost hear nil about what I'm just getting into. And I've tried to teach it and preach it as much as people can stand it over the years. When you're born again, your spirit person is brand new. Well, then everything's cool. No. Hold on. It's your mind and your body now that are under construction. Your spirit is brand new. But your mind can think thoughts that will get you into trouble. Your body can sleep too much or not enough, eat too much or not enough. You see, we're in this world, and our minds can get off track. Your mind can run like a runaway shutter on a camera. And so that's why we have to renew our minds in the Word of God so we don't think. God forbid that in the church we think like the world thinks. We don't want to do that. We want to think like God thinks. For your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. He said in Isaiah, your thoughts are not, you're not thinking like I think, son, daughter. You're not acting like I act. Think like I think. Act like, well, how do we know God? It's called the Holy Bible. It's called the Word of God. So when I read the Bible, praise God, it's not a book of condemnation. I'm born again. My spirit is brand new in Christ, but my mind can mess me up. My body can mess me up. Amen. I got up in the middle of the night here a while back, and I was so hungry, so hungry. And I went into the kitchen, and I found some candy or something from Christmas. Man, praise God. Nothing flipped my switch like those chocolate-covered mint stuff, whatever it was. Man, I'm telling you, I just had me a feast and went back to bed. It tasted so good, but it didn't treat me right. What I ate kept me up the rest of the night. That rhymes, doesn't it? Oh, it tasted good, but my stomach said, I don't think so. The same spiritual analogy. We get up in the middle of that. We're restless. We got to do something. Watch it when you have to do something. Watch it when you have to. Don't tell me I have to buy something right now. Don't tell me that. I'm not going to buy it. Amen. Don't put pressure on me. Come on now. I'm a processor. I'm going to think it through. I'm going to weigh things out. Most of the time I do. When I haven't, I've paid for it. Praise God. But don't eat all that tastes so good in the middle of the night. And then you try to go back to bed and forget sleep. Oh, man. Man, I took Tums. I scratched around in drawers trying to find something. Nothing. It just didn't taste good. Nothing else tasted good. No liquid tasted good. I just fooled around and ate the wrong thing. And that's where many Christians are. Don't fool around and think the wrong thing. Don't fool around and let your body pursue the wrong thing. Pursue the things of God. Pursue the thought life of God. You remember the woman at the well? When they came back, the disciples had been into the cafeteria, and they came back, and Jesus was so happy, but he did not eat, and they couldn't figure that out. And Jesus, because he had won this precious soul, he said, I have food to eat that you know not of. Oh, child of God, we have food to eat that the world doesn't know anything about. What'd you do yesterday? Went to church. Went to church. Yeah, twice. Oh, no. No. I guess you gave money away too. Yeah. No. No. Go spend it on the lottery. Go out and go do this. Go do something else. And if you win, you better bring the tithe into the church. We got some tithe the other day. We got about $1,500. Somebody won the lottery for them. Anyway, said, well, you take lottery money? You mighty right. Don't put it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't know who it was, so don't worry about it. I'm not trying to trace that down. But what I'm telling you, he was raised from the dead, but he still was bound. He had grave clothes on. And that's where I'm bringing this message tonight. How to raise the dead. How to get yourself free. We've been raised from the dead. Oh, I hate to think what some of us in this room could have been, would have been, ought to have been the way we were going. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank God God changed us. We're not who we were. We're not what we used to be. We're not all that we can be, but we're on the way to being that. But there is therefore now no condemnation. Oh, that's wonderful. That's good. And that's true. But you got to walk according to the Spirit. Do the right thing. Think the right thing. Refuse to let the wrong thing take a lease out of your spirit. I like what Brother Andrew said. I refuse to lease my mind out. to the enemy. I refuse to lease any office of my mind out. Praise God. So I'm brand new on the inside. But you see, I want us in the final moments of this service tonight, and I feel so satisfied. I believe we've said what God wanted us to say and gone where God wanted us to go. And here's the thing about it. If we let go and let God have his way in our life, our finances will be better. We'll win more souls. Our marriage will go better. Our relationships will go. But if we get that old gall of bitterness and strife and all that stuff going on, man. I remember back in the old property downtown in our location there. I remember our Bible school. It has nothing to do with anybody who's here now. It was in the early days of our Bible school. Man, it was blowing and going. Everything was wonderful. But all of a sudden, I don't know, it was some little silly something somebody got going. But anyway, I realized that there came a coolness toward me in ministering in the class. Well, I found out later what that was all about. It had been someone called some, said some things they shouldn't have said. And I wasn't as spiritual as I should have been. And, we judge one another. And I prayed about that and prayed about it. I thought, Lord, something needs to be done here. I'm a stranger in my own house. That's not right. I was teaching live sessions. And you know what it is? The term theme was on strife and scorn. Now, this is a faith school. I mean, boy, we're big into the word of faith and still are. It's a word church. And some people said, that's condemnation, Pastor. Our term theme, strife and scorn, two nasty words in the Bible. Ooh, they're nasty. The results are nasty. And I mean, lives begin to change because they were sincere. Some of them just got off track. And when they studied out the results of strife and scorn, you can scorn, you can be in strife. They realized it was robbing them of the greater blessings of God. And it brought a harmony and a peace to that school at that time. It just turned things around. One of those God moments when God showed what to do. Now, don't get excited. I'm not giving you a term theme of strife and scorn. But I'm just telling you, things were out of balance. Things were not, thought processes. You say, can believers get that way? Oh, yeah. And we had people in from different places and different ideas. And it was just, it was an exciting time, but it was a vulnerable time. And you know what? Those papers on strife and so on, I had people for the longest time said, that just changed my life. When I began to realize how dangerous strife is, to get into strife or scorn, that we scorn the things of God or the leadership of God. Oh, I tell you, God is at work tonight. And, I noticed something here. And let me find it real quickly here. Oh, where is it? John 11. I'll be back here in half a second. And it always has been that way. In the 11th chapter, in verse 37, it may have been somewhere else, but in verse 37, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes, talking about Jesus now, not talking about you or me, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Now they're judging Jesus, some of them. And then go up to verse 46, and some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus... I mean, some of them. But the Bible also said many of them believed on Jesus. And what you got to keep your eyes not on some of them, but many of them. Dwell on what you can change. Dwell on what is good. Dwell on Philippians 4:8. Don't dwell on some of them. Dwell on many of them. I just discovered that this afternoon even as I was going back. Some of them, many of them, but many of them believed on Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to be among the many of them, don't you? I'm not among some of them, whoever some of them are. Whoever they are. Oh, thank God, thank God. How to resurrect the dead. I've given you some good clues and some good insights tonight. God doesn't want us to leave the same. We'll not leave this place like we came. I believe the Spirit of God has dealt with all of us, that there are areas and ways and thought patterns and actions and reactions that God's saying, change, son, change, daughter, so I can bless you in a greater way. I'm getting you ready for the greater things of God. Don't be defeated by your thoughts. Don't be defeated by your mind or even your body, which are rebels and have to constantly, Paul said, I bring my body under, bring myself under. He's born again. His sins are forgiven. He's a new creation in Christ Jesus. But the rest of it keeps us in jeopardy. How many understand the emphasis that I'm placing? The rest of it hinders us from receiving God's best. Ooh, did you get that, Brother Johnny? I believe you got it. What did you hear me say tonight? Would you? I mean, the short version. What?
That we should stay out of strife, and that we can't take up anyone else's offenses, and that we need to. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And that if our focus is on God and all this other stuff, my interpretation is that the other things will fall to the side.
Johnny got it. You've caught it. Hey, let's all stand tonight. My, it's so good to be in God's house tonight. You know, tonight the Spirit of God's just given us all a Holy Ghost liberal arts education. This is preparation for the greater. Preparation for the greater. Isn't it wonderful to know my spirit's perfect, but I'm still under construction? But there's something I can do about construction. I can let it happen. Hallelujah. We'll not leave here like we came. David Ingalls, remember he wrote that song years ago. I'll not leave here like I came, in Jesus' name. I wonder how many tonight would just say, you know, I just want to come and say, Lord, just start the work. Start the work in me. Start the work in me. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord. How to raise the dead. We're going to see dead situations come to life. We're going to see dead end streets turn into freeways and superhighways. Oh, thank God. Thank God.